Okay, what we're going to talk about here is something called the cosmological revolution. Cosmological revolution is part of the science and Christianity question. And effectively what it comes down to is that really up until end of the 1600s, the vast majority of scientists, the vast majority of thinkers thought that the Earth was at the centre of the solar system. If you really want to use big words, it's called geocentrism or a geocentric view of the solar system. The idea was that the Earth was at the centre of the solar system. Now, it is a myth. Now, I can't get this more clear. It is a myth that people believed that the Earth was flat, that people did not recognise that the world was round. You sometimes hear this myth that people thought the Earth was flat until Christopher Columbus sailed to the New World. That's rubbish. People knew that the Earth was round from Greek times. A guy called Erastus had a very good idea that the Earth was round, long known that the Earth was round. Medievals tended to draw the world map as if it was flat, and maybe that's where the myth came from. But it is certainly not the case that people believed the Earth was flat. What they did believe was that the Earth was at the centre of the solar system. For the very simple reason, that's how it looks. If you look up at the sky, you see the sun moving across the sky. If you record the position of the stars over months, it looks as if the stars are moving across the sky. It looks as if the stars are moving. And sometimes it looks as if they move forward, then move back a bit and move forward again. So people had the idea that the stars were moving in a nice little circle, continually moving round and round the Earth. So you've got these little swirl shapes moving round and round the Earth, because that's what it looks like. And people who were measuring the stars could predict where the stars were going to be. We were able to predict the seasons. We were able to predict all sorts of events using this method. It was tried and tested science. It lasted for hundreds of years. It was not an irrational belief. Another myth. This belief was not based on the Bible. The Greeks believed this idea before the Bible came along. They did not have the Bible. It was very much based on Greek science. It was not based on the Bible. But many people, when you read the Bible, it talks about the sun moving across the sky. It talks about the stars moving across the sky. In the same way today we talk about sunset, sunrise, even though the sun doesn't literally set, even though the sun doesn't literally rise, it looks as if it does. The Bible talks that way about the sun. And so some people felt that the Bible, or actually nearly everybody felt that this was a biblical teaching, that the Earth was at the centre of the universe. This begins to change about 1543 by a guy called Nicholas Copernicus. And Copernicus comes up with the idea that actually it's the sun that's at the centre of the solar system. And that was his big idea. That's called heliocentrism, helio meaning sun. That is, the sun's at the centre of the solar system. His idea doesn't really take off in a big way. But here's another myth. Some people will say that this cosmological revolution of Copernicus, who was actually a priest, Copernicus was a priest, he was a Christian, they say that people resisted this idea because the Bible teaches that humanity is at the centre of the universe, and therefore the Earth must be at the centre of the universe. That's what people believe. That's what people say people believed back then. Rubbish. We'll come to that in a minute. That's not why people believed that. They did believe the Earth was at the centre of the universe, but not because they believe that human beings were so important they must be at the centre of the universe. That's simply not true. And then there's this chap, Galileo Galilei. And Galileo, sometimes called the father of modern science, and quite often Galileo was used as an example of somebody who got into conflict with Christianity. Galileo was supposed to be the great example of somebody getting into conflict with the church because he's a Christian. Largely because people haven't read their history books properly. Galileo was a convinced Christian. And he was actually also technically a priest. He was a member of the priesthood, although he had several children. So he obviously didn't take his vows too seriously. But he was a Christian. And Galileo is called the founder of modern science because of his Christian beliefs. Without Christianity, it's very difficult to see how modern science could take off. There's only one culture that developed science, and that's Christian Europe. India never developed it. China never developed it. The Greeks never developed it. The Romans never developed it. It was only Christian Europe developed modern science. And you can ask the question, why? Now, they certainly borrowed ideas from Greece. They borrowed ideas from as far away as India and the Arab world. They borrowed lots of ideas. But there are really two reasons. One is, in Christianity, God makes human beings in his image. God makes us like him. And therefore, we can think God's thoughts after him. God and human beings can have the same thoughts. And for Galileo, this comes out in mathematics. Galileo begins to reason, listen, God's like a great mathematician. God used mathematics like an engineer when he designed the universe. So we can use mathematics when we design, when we examine or investigate the universe. And whenever we find a mathematical law, whenever we use our maths to discover what's going on, that will tell us what's really happening out there. Up until this point, people thought maths just give you, you know, people could use maths to work out where the stars were going to appear, but they just thought it was sort of like a trick that you did. They didn't really care whether it was true or not. Galileo says, no, if we take measurements and we use maths, we can actually discover the truth about the universe, because God, like us, is a mathematician. You know, what's true for us will be true for God, and God could use maths just as you would in engineering or CAD or in technology. Use maths when you're designing things. So would God use maths so we can understand the universe. The other reason is God is free. God is free to do whatever he wants. So that means, yes, God made the universe, but he could have made it in any one of a number of different ways. The only way to find out how God made the universe is to go out and observe it and to measure it and to do experiments. To actually experiment and not sit in a room and work out, you know, well, without looking at the world, working out what must be happening out there. But to actually go and investigate it for yourself. Because we can't predict what God is going to do, because God's free. He can make any universe he likes, so long as it all makes sense. He can make whatever universe he wants. So yes, the universe will be rational, but we can't guess what it's going to be like. We've got to go out and examine it, because God's greater than us, smarter than us. There'll be all sorts of surprises out there. And for that reason, we've got to go and investigate it. And from that, you get modern science. People using experiments and mathematics and measurements to understand the world. It's very much a Christian idea. So the idea that there's a conflict between Christianity and science runs into the problem that it's difficult to see how science would take off without Christianity. Let's go back to Galileo. Copernicus has this idea that the sun's at the centre of the universe. Now, before that, you have something called the Ptolemaic system. And that believed that the Earth was at the centre of the solar system. And Galileo came to believe that this was false after reading Copernicus and doing some investigations. But the idea was this. At the centre of the universe, you've got Earth. And Earth is basically the place in the universe where all the crap floats. Right? It's like a great big universal dustbin. All the dust and all the junk in the universe floats to Earth. Because if you look at the stars from Earth, they look perfect. They look, you know, these big, bright, beautiful, shiny things. So the idea was, what is up in the sky, the stars and the planets, they are beautiful, perfect spheres. Earth is where all the junk floats. So if you actually look at how the medievals thought about the universe, where did they think hell was? In the middle of the Earth. Right at the very center of the universe was hell. So being at the center of the universe wasn't a good thing. It was a bad thing. So when Copernicus comes along and says, actually, Earth goes around the sun. Earth is a planet like the other planets. He's actually taken the human race and saying, listen, we're in the stars. We're one of the stars. We're one of the heavenly bodies. We're one of the great and beautiful things. He was actually saying humanity's in a much better place, not a worse place than before. So this myth that people resisted Copernicus because human beings were at the center of the universe in the Bible, it's just nonsense. That's not how people thought about the universe. The other thing here is when you look at Copernicus' system and Galileo's system, they began to think, no, what's at the center of the universe is the sun. And what happens is the planets go around the sun. And that's what we believe today. With one very important exception. We know that the planets go around the sun in an ellipse. It's kind of like an oval shape. But Copernicus and Galileo believed that they went around the sun in nice circles. And that's important because whenever people then began to take measurements, they took Galileo's model of circles and they looked at how the planets went around the Earth. They looked at the position of the planets in the sky and they looked at Galileo's circles and they measured the two and they didn't join up. Galileo didn't have any proof. It was only when a guy called Kepler comes along that we begin to get proof that this is how the Earth, and he begins, because he realizes ellipses. Before that, Galileo didn't have proof. So this is not a case in the case of Galileo of this big irrational church refusing to look into telescopes, refusing to look at the evidence. The church looked at the evidence and said, Galileo's wrong. He's wrong. He's made a mistake here. Raises the question why Galileo believed any of this. One reason is that Galileo was a bit of a pillock. He got into trouble with the church, certainly because he was a bit of a pillock. He argued with everyone. He embarrassed everyone. If somebody got into a debate with him, Galileo would win the debate, but he'd also make you look like a complete fool. So he wound everybody up the wrong way. He also told all sorts of tall tales. He wrote all very important science textbooks that were very, very important in the history of science. But he copied other people's ideas and never acknowledged them. We know that today. And he also, one of the things he claimed to have invented the telescope. Now, that's not true. Galileo did not invent the telescope. But if there was an important discovery, along would come Galileo, and he would claim he was the guy who came up with it. But what he did notice when he looked through the telescope is that the planets, for example, take the moon. In the old system, in the Ptolemaic system, remember, these bodies up there are supposed to be nice, perfectly smooth shapes. When he begins to look at the planets, he notices that they're all covered in craters through the telescope. It's not some sort of optical illusion. There are craters on the moon. There's all sorts of big... So it's not this perfect system up there. He also begins to notice, just as our moon goes through phases, you get the crescent moon, you know, half crescent, full moon. Same thing happens to Venus. So Venus has to be going round the sun the same way as the moon is. So he begins to make all these observations, and that's why he throws this old idea out. He knew that the Earth couldn't be at the centre of the solar system. He had that right. He didn't have a good theory to replace it with. But that didn't stop him arguing with everyone and getting into fights with everyone over the fact that he was right and everybody else was wrong. That was the sort of character he was. The church, a guy called Cardinal Bellarmine was one of the first guys in the church to respond to Galileo. And he actually wrote a letter, a famous letter to a guy called Foscarini, and he said, yep, I would change my interpretation of the Bible if Galileo had proof, but he doesn't have it. So he said, yeah, the Bible seems to teach that the Earth's at the centre of the universe, but I could have that wrong, says Bellarmine. After all, the Bible talks about the world having four corners, and we know the world's not flat, so I could be wrong. But there are two problems. One, Galileo can't show I'm wrong. And two, and this is the important point, the only person who can tell us what to believe about the Bible, or the only institution, is the church, the Catholic Church. The church will tell you what to believe about the Bible, not Galileo. Because Galileo had written a number of letters saying, this is what the Bible says. He had taken it upon himself to tell the church it was wrong. And at this time in history, Protestants and Catholics were falling out and were actually going to war over who had the right to interpret the Bible. And in the middle of this, Galileo writes a book without permission saying, here's why the church has got it wrong about the earth. He gets himself in bother. He's told 1616, right, listen, you're not allowed to do this anymore. What then happens is that Galileo's mate, 1623, Cardinal Barberini, becomes Pope Urban VIII. And Galileo reckons, my mate's the Pope now. I can go back and start telling the church again why it's wrong. Galileo was brought to trial, and the church basically condemned him and said, listen, you're wrong. You're never allowed to talk about this again. They probably showed him instruments of torture and said, if you don't change your mind, you could be tortured. Torture was actually very, very common back then. You could be tortured for very, very minor crimes. But he was never actually tortured. He was arrested, put on house arrest, living in mansions. So this was a man who was not thrown into a dungeon, who lived out the rest of his life in comfort, who was able to practice science for the rest of his life. And to this day, nobody really knows for sure why Pope Urban condemned him. Because the church shouldn't have had a problem saying, listen, the sun might be at the centre of the solar system. The church didn't have an issue with that. Cardinal Barberini, who was the real hardliner in this, said, listen, you give me proof, I'll change my mind. You don't have proof, so shush. But he was open to the idea, or theoretically open to the idea. Barberini was absolutely convinced he was right, but he was theoretically open to the idea the church shouldn't have had a problem here. One reason is Galileo wound everybody up. He really annoyed Jesuit priests because there was a guy called Grazzi who was apparently a really, really nice scientist, a lovely guy, well-loved, and he worked out that meteorites were actually little bits of rock coming out of the solar system, hitting Earth's atmosphere and burning up. He had that. But his theory never took off because along comes Galileo and says, no, it's just gas burning up in the sky. And he mocked Grassi and made fun of him and attacked him and ruined his career. So the Jesuits, a very powerful order of priests, were really, really, really annoyed with Galileo. He made enemies. Another reason is that the Pope at that time wanted Catholic states to view him as very strong, as a man who would take no nonsense. And so Urban VIII might well have condemned Galileo to show people, listen, this is what I do to people who mess about with me. This is what I do. Third reason is that Galileo wrote a book called Dialogue of Two World Systems. Now, you won't need to remember all these names for your exam. You don't need to worry about that. You just need to remember the gist of this. But he wrote a book called Dialogue Concerning the Two World Systems, in which he put the arguments for the Earth being at the centre of the universe, he put some of these arguments in the mouth of a man called Simplicio, in other words, idiot. And what he did is he used words that the Pope had actually used. He used some of the Pope's favourite arguments and had a character in his book basically called idiot say these words. So what Galileo effectively did was call the Pope an idiot in front of the whole of Europe. Now, it's not surprising that the Pope got a bit narked about that. So this wasn't a man, he made personal enemies, the Pope a good reason for wanting to look strong, and the Pope looked at this and probably thought, or at least his advisors would have told him, Galileo's theories don't work. We have looked at the solar system, we've tried his models, they don't work. Listen, you're in the right here. The evidence is on your side. We're going to be proved right in the long run, stamping this guy. So this idea that there was some sort of conflict between Christianity and science in what they call the cosmological revolution, this idea that the sun's at the centre of the universe, which turned out to be right, but there's nothing here that shows there's some sort of deep conflict between science and Christianity. History's always much, much, much more complicated than that. Much more complicated. And when you look at the evidence, it shows that really this had a lot to do with the politics of the church and state at the time. It had to do with the Pope trying to look strong in front of Protestants, trying to make Catholic states respect him. It had to do with Galileo's ability to annoy everyone in a 100-mile radius. When you put all that together, you begin to understand the mess that Galileo got into. It's partly self-created, partly a victim of circumstance. He turned out to be right in the long run, but that's mainly more a matter of accident than Galileo having any deep insight here. So you've got the supposed conflict between Christianity and science, but in fact, when you look at it, what you find is that science actually couldn't have taken off without Christianity. With this belief that there's a designer up there who used mathematics to create the universe, therefore we can use maths to understand the universe. But also God is so much smarter than us and freer than us that his universe will be more fantastic than anything that we can predict. So we've got to go out and investigate it for ourselves. We've got to go out and look. We've got to go out and measure. We've got to go out and experiment to test our ideas. Because yes, we're smart, but no, we're not as smart as God. So our ideas have to be tested.